64, no tax.
But that's a crowd in New Orleans celebrating the return of their heroes, the Saints, as they beat, some would say, a lot of odds and ended up winning the Super Bowl. Gangbuster ratings for this one, best of all time. And Drew Brees and the boys are once again holding the prize at the end, the Lombardi Trophy. There still is that aftermath, Bourbon Street, easy for me to say, the morning after. It looked like a pretty wild party, to say the least. But you know what? Congratulations to the Saints. We did nail the score all year long, and so many of you called up, blew out the phone lines, and trust me, we'll be back with hoops. We'll do it with college hoops. It was exciting. Nobody nailed it except for one of the technical guys at GCN, Andrew, who wasn't eligible for the prizes, but none of you were able to do it. A couple of you came close. Maybe someone will do it with hoops, and then we'll bring it back on NFL next season when the NFL rolls out once again. It's hard to believe that the NFL, you know, that there's no more football. It is kind of a weird hangover, if you will, if you're a football fan. Now, some people will say, wow, football, who cares about football and who cares about the big game? See, I take the opposite of, approach to that. I am as serious as anyone and as furious as anyone over the things that are happening in this country and how frightening it is when it comes to the monetary system and when I look around and see what's happening to people and worried about where we are with gun control and a whole bunch of other issues. Absolutely. But so many people shed their blood in places like Afghanistan and ambushes, in Korea, in Vietnam, and other places, so that we could enjoy the democracy that we live in, so that we could kick back for a few hours and enjoy a football game. The key is to be motivated to still put the pedal down, to push the pedal down, call the congressmen, call the senators, complain, be involved, be active, be vigilant in what you see happening that you don't like, especially from your representatives, because it's our government. It's we the people. Just remind yourself of that every single day. So we the people apparently did kick back and enjoy some of those freedoms by watching the Super Bowl, because 106 million watched. Yeah, that's what they peg it at this point, 106 million. You know, that surpasses the 83 finale of MASH to become the most watched program in U.S. television history. I think a lot of this had to do with the storylines of the Saints and their recovery from Hurricane Katrina, maybe the second Super Bowl ring for Peyton Manning. A lot of people are Manning fans. He's one of the most popular guys, I think, in the NFL, certainly on some fantasy teams. I talked to a ton of people that were rooting for the Colts, and I'd say, oh, do you have family in Indianapolis? Or you just, your team didn't get there, and you happen to like the Colts. And always the answer was Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning looked pretty disappointed in a couple of the plays, including his own interception that iced it all for the Colts. So something about the Saints, they had luck on their side, because honestly, if we go back to the game against Minnesota, not to open up the wounds, but they shouldn't have really beaten Minnesota. They didn't play a great game. Minnesota, in the end, gave it to them. But they get into the Super Bowl. They're the underdog. A lot of people said they wanted to see the Saints win it, but they felt, ah, yeah, definitely the Colts are going to take this. And I looked at so many of the writers that I've followed over the years who cover football day in and day out, travel with the teams, all that stuff. And pretty much the consensus across the board was that this was going to be the Colts, but maybe it's going to be a close Super Bowl. And it turned out to be the opposite. It looked like the Colts were going to win it. And then an interception, a couple things happened at the end of the game, and the Saints march off with it. All right, we move from the Super Bowl to a couple of other things, including the weather. How can you not talk about the weather when D.C. could get another 20 inches of snow, when 18 inches may fall in my hometown of Philadelphia and southern New Jersey? They're talking about now finally New York City getting slammed with about a foot. So there's watches and warnings and blizzard announcements, and they're rearranging all kinds of things in D.C. for fear of this storm. And it's looking pretty good that we're going to see this snow. In the meantime, getting ready for the Winter Olympics, they still have no snow in Vancouver. So the organizers of these games are just, they don't want to consider a last-minute venue change. They've had this unseasonably warm weather that's putting things in a bad way. I mean, you got four days until the games opening ceremonies, and they haven't seen snow? You know, here we've got all this snow in Philly, the worst in 90 years, and in Washington, but they're not getting it there. So you look at the, I was looking at the mountain today, one of the mountains, Cypress Mountains, and they're trucking stuff in. They're trucking in, loads of snow for the games. Boy, it looks so Spartan. If I was driving up and I thought I was going to go skiing and go down some of those lines, whew, I see a whole lot of green sticking up, a whole lot of green. And this Cypress Mountain is where the freestyle skiing events are supposed to take place. So they don't want to have to change the venue, but you got all this green grass all over the place. And that's trouble. At opening ceremonies a handful of days away, oof. So the above freezing temps in Vancouver, big, big concern. Snowboarding, freestyle skiing, those two are on that mountain that overlooks the city. And the freestyle moguls training sessions are supposed to begin. I don't know how they cannot think about moving it. What are they going to do? So we have what they call Snowmageddon in the East Coast. And you got nothing happening in Vancouver, nothing. I don't know. If I'm doing the freestyle and I'm seeing those green patches, man, I'm not liking that. I'm thinking, do I need to get wheels on the bottom of this? All right, coming up, we're going to bounce back to politics. And, of course, I'll mention this. You know how closely we follow these polls and where the president, his approval ratings lie. But he's hit his lowest approval mark so far. Independent voters see Obama in a negative way. They're saying by a nearly 2-to-1 margin. This is a new Marist College survey. Half of the voters say he's failed to meet their expectations. They did this poll February 1st through the 3rd, and it showed that just 44% of registered voters approve of Obama's job as president, 47% disapprove. But in the indie voters, this is a key block. This helped Obama. The rating sits at 29%. His disapproval rating is at 57. So 44% job approval rating, the lowest he has scored in any non-internet poll since moving in to the White House. Woo! Hang with us. We'll take a few on the flip side. 800-259-5791.
Have your house payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? You need help from MortgageFraudExaminers.com. To stop the housing crisis, Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages. The trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. MortgageFraudExaminers.com can help you get the leverage you need to turn things around. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages are legally deficient. MortgageFraudExaminers.com can perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. It's like CSI for your home loan. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating when faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. Find out how MortgageFraudExaminers.com can help you. Visit MortgageFraudExaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
For safety, you lock doors, set alarms, buy antivirus software, maybe even have a watchdog. Do you care as much about your air and water? Lock out harmful poisons from entering your body with airandaqua.com. Using purification devices from airandaqua.com allows you to enjoy safety and security with every breath you make and every sip you take. For free shipping on purchases, discounts, and newsletters, visit airandaqua.com or call 866-380-2782. Shop airandaqua.com and purify your life.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Some interesting numbers to talk about this time around. A couple of things we mentioned at the top, the approval ratings for Obama, the lowest so far in a non-internet poll that's been taken. We also mentioned, or I guess I'll mention this again, the 9/11 stuff. It's funny where we're going with that. When I say the 9/11 stuff, I'm talking about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the four others going on trial in New York. Now, Mayor Bloomberg is saying, hey, well, you know, I don't want it here anymore, so if the U.S. pays for it, meaning the taxpayers, U.S. pays for it, fine, because we're going to need at least $200 million a year for this, and we can't afford it. Where was all that conversation in November when everybody was just dogpiling on the fact that, oh, we have to have it here? Now, all of a sudden, Chuck Schumer and Bloomberg are backing out of that whole thing because they realize the money, the problems, the threats that they're already receiving to the city. And the president mentions just a day ago, hey, we may still have it in New York City. I haven't said no, we're definitely going to move that at this point. Let's go to Don in Wyoming. Hello, Don.
Hey, Kate. Thanks. I wasn't able to get through to you last night. But, Obama's rating, what Americans vote for when it comes to election time, right?
Their wallet. What's going on with the economy?
Darn right. So if things have changed and turned around going good, they'll get reelected. If they haven't, then, somebody else has got a better idea, or they trust somebody. And, you know, Romney might be the answer for the Republicans. He's a very successful private businessman, you know, but before he got into politics. But I don't know. But, you know, you'll see what happens. And, of course, you know, we talked a few times about how I think Obama's the one that started this whole thing in the first place. You know, he was on that Senate Finance Committee, and they voted, you know, they lost the election against Bush going with the anti-war thing back in, what, 04?
Yeah.
And you know, that didn't work, so they said, well, we're going to have to do it. You know, the economy's going to have to be bad, and so, you know, John McCain's telling them, you guys need to reel in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac because it's going to cause big problems. And they said, hey, well, if we leave it alone and it does cause big problems, then the economy go to pits and we can get elected that way. So, you know, I think he was, you know, it's a dirty backdoor thing, but trust me, these people don't miss their meals. They don't, you know, they have their jobs. They're not the other end of the country where people are wondering where they're going to get their next meal at, you know?
Right, right.
And, you know, they all care. So, you know, so what? I mean, look at it, okay? So everything was hunky-dory when we only had 5%, 4 or 5% unemployment rate. So now we're at 10%, and it's like this massive problem. You know, I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting just doubling. I mean, if it was up like the Depression, you know, 30% unemployment rate, and I'd be like, yeah, we got, you know, big, huge problem. But it's just, I just find it interesting that, you know, just the difference of 5% will make, you know, people think that, oh, my gosh, you know, and a lot of it, I think, scare tactics going on with, you know, I mean, we've lost a lot of jobs. There's no doubt about that, Kate. But a lot of it, sometimes I just wonder if it's just every time people turn on the news, they just hear bad stuff and nothing's going right. And, you know, you just kind of wonder sometimes if it's just, you know, bad press or whatever, or that's, you know, or, you know, always talking negative about instead of the positive things that are going on that make people think it's, you know, just things haven't turned around yet, you know, but.
Well, anyway, that's why, you know what, that's why people, we say this all the time. You're a smart guy. You keep up with what's happening. That's why you have to get yourself out there a little bit and follow and make your own decisions and follow what's going along, because the information's out there if you want it. You agree with that, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, I just kind of wonder sometimes, you know, I know a lot of people.
I know what you're saying. People just look at the headlines and they don't really even realize what the story's about. I gotcha.
Yeah. But how about Earmark Marcek? That was kind of surprising day here. He passed away.
From the gallbladder surgery.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah, so it is weird.
You know, especially after he was a, you know, Vietnam vet and Marine hero over there. And, I was really mad at him when he, you know, he was one of the guys, most of the Democrats, to go in on the war idea. Because you remember when they all decided to go into Iraq, it was, by the way, was it an invasion or a liberation? I mean, every time you hear the news, they're like, we invaded Iraq. I thought we liberated them. But anyway, so.
That's right.
Did we invade Europe? I mean, when we, on D-Day back in June 6, 1944, did we invade Europe that day, or did we go liberate them? But anyways, from a tyrant, just like we liberated Iraq from Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
And you know what? And the thing that got me about Mark is he got a lot of Democrats on with the idea, and they all voted. It was like 95% of them voted to do it. I think like 4 senators said no, and Obama being one, of course. But, you know, and they went in, and then 3 years later, the guy's like, well, let's pull out of here. Well, you know, when you go in to do something, you don't pull out, and, you know, and because that just shows weakness on your own self.
That's,
you know,
right.
And look at us now. I mean, it took 8 years or six years? I think about 6, 7 years, you know, spent a whole lot of money, which hopefully the Iraqis will pay us back. You know, but they've got a fledgling democracy there right now, and, you know, they're still blowing each other up every once in a while. You know, the clashes between Shiites and Sunnis, but it worked out for the most part, and they do have a little bit of a democracy, and they've taken on their own security, and we're kind of in a back row, and you don't hear too much coming out of Iraq, at least with our soldiers getting killed anymore, and it just makes you think, well, is somebody going to sit there and say, well, the mission's accomplished? You know, I mean, it seems to me like it is. You know, and now everything, of course, switched over to Pakistan and Afghanistan to what we're going to do there. But anyway, though, hey, what were the game with you about the game? What were your thoughts? I can't believe you heard today that it passed MASH. That was interesting.
Yeah, all time best. It was incredible. 106 million.
Of course, you know, back then, you know, when about 1982 or 83 with MASH last episode, what do we only have about 220 million Americans, maybe, so
yeah.
about half the country back then watched MASH, whereas only maybe a third of the country watched that football game yesterday. But or Sunday. But, yeah, it was interesting. I told you before the game, I said the one thing I did not want to happen, I didn't want Peyton Manning to end up being the GOAT, you know, or whatever in the game,
he
you
did.
Know, where and,
yeah.
And, you know, because, you know, and fortunately, a lot of people come out and said, oh, it was Reggie Wayne's fault. He ran a bad route, and, you know, that wasn't Peyton's fault on the interception, you know. And you know, so a lot of people come back and say that. But, you know, people can say that. Of course, they hit the internet and go, oh, well, he was New Orleans' son, you know, and he lived there and went to high school there. And maybe he was just his mind just wasn't into it or something. And but I hope that's not the case. I don't think it is. Man, he wins it. He wins at all costs if he can, you know. But anyway, interesting game, though. You know, I'm happy for the Saints fans. And I couldn't believe it. By the way, the commercials were horrible, I thought. There were a few that were kind of funny. But for the most part, you know, I just think, did you like the one I haven't heard anybody talk about was the Punxsutawney Palamalu.
Oh, I thought that was so funny when they pulled him out. And he was a little tiny guy, and then he stopped moving around. He saw his shadow. Yeah. I thought that was funny. I laughed. Yeah.
Well, you know, I was just laughing because I was like, oh, man, I wish there was a guy pulling him out, you know, because, you know, I'd love to just grab those Pittsburgh Steelers by the hair, you know. But anyway, I thought that one was kind of funny. But for the most part, I was just thinking my hair was going, they paid $3 million to make that? You know? And how many Doritos commercials for crying out? I must have four or five of them. I think, you know, when you've already got an established product, why would you just be, you know, spending so much money on that product to, you know, it's just like, geez, you know, they spent, I don't know, there had to be about six of those Doritos commercials. I'm thinking, man, those guys spent a lot
millions.
Of money to,
yeah.
You know, and it's already an established product, you know, but halftime, you know, remember, kid, I told you a while back about my idea for the British, you know, the English during the Olympics coming up that, you know, what did England offer the world other than colonialism and the language itself and, you know, five of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time. And I'm telling you, Kate, I love the Who. By the way, thanks for playing the Supertramp before on the break there. That was my favorite
band. I like Supertramp, too. Yeah, that was a good choice by Matt.
That was my favorite band in high school, by the way. But but in any case, though, you know, I said, my idea about this, I saw the Who and I said, oh, my gosh, my dad looked over me and he goes, are those the guys from, like, he says, aren't those dudes as old as me? And I said, yeah, Dad, they are. Like, they have retired? And I'm like, no. I said, I think they might. But I couldn't understand why, you know, I mean, they had the Stones a few years back, and Paul McCartney on there, you know. Hey, maybe next year they can talk about Zeppelin and getting into it, you know.
Yeah, who knows where they're going to go with the next retro throwback rock and rollers in their 60s and 70s. Thanks, Don. Coming up, we'll take a few more. 800-259-5791 here on America Tonight.
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere. 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Is your computer running slowly? Thinking about buying a new one? Don't waste your money. Your computer could be infected with spyware, malware, viruses, registry errors, spam, and pop-ups. You don't need to buy a new computer. Just go to DoubleMySpeed.com and find out what's slowing your computer down.
DoubleMySpeed totally cleaned up my system and increased my speed.
DoubleMySpeed.com increased the speed of my computer from the very first day.
My computer was on its last leg. Now it's like new again.
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com and keep your computer running fast. Your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com is easy and fast.
It's the best you could ask for. Outstanding, and my computer is running faster than ever.
Find out what is slowing down your computer with a free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com. Don't waste your time with your slow computer. Get your free diagnosis now at DoubleMySpeed.com. That's DoubleMySpeed.com.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Thinking. We gotta let that song roll for a little bit. There was a couple of things politically. Jenny Sanford making the rounds. South Carolina's first lady was on Larry King. And of course, she's coming out with a book, and she said she's forgiven her husband, but she's saying that writing about it was a cathartic deal and a cleansing experience. But man, everybody cashes in on these affair situations, don't they? And you feel badly for her because she really did stand by him. And I think the whole thing about him being away and then really had an Argentinian woman that he was fooling around with, and he was supposedly on the Appalachian Trail, was the most hilarious, ridiculous cover-up of all time. And she wrote the book called Staying True. And I think that we'll probably hear about this for maybe another week or two. And she filed for divorce in December, said that the divorce could be final as early as the end of the month, but that they had these kids together, and she's forgiven him. Now, in the meantime, the Edwardses, of course, have separated, and in their case, It's a question of the sex tape of John Edwards and Ryle Hunter, the woman that he fooled around with. They're trying to, I think they were, first of all, they were trying to bury it. Then the aide came out and talked about this tape. Now, oh, he accidentally found it. He was going to retrieve something, and he accidentally found the tape, first of all, which is the most bogus thing of all. And in the meantime, now they're trying to subpoena that tape. So that tape's coming out. Somebody's got a copy of that somewhere. Who knows? He probably made a bunch of copies of them, gave them to someone. It's going to leak out. So officers were sent to retrieve the tape. And, you know, the whole John Edwards thing, he's out of politics at this point. Who cares? But it's a question of the money thing and the investigation. So a court judge ordered that they have a security firm help recover the video and some of the other items from Andrew Young, who said he has the original tape. 800, so the world turns in politics. 800-259-5791. Sam is listening to us in Montreal. Hey, Sam. Sam, are you there? I think we're going to have to say goodbye to Sam. All right, we're going to have to let Sam slide because I hear all this chatter in the background. Sam, you're going to have to call us back. I think he might have been listening to a couple different radio shows. What do you think was going on there, Mark? Or Matt?
What's my name?
Matt.
Yeah, I don't know. He's still.
I thought we had Mark on the line. Trust me.
I don't know what's going on.
Okay. But I was just wondering, maybe
Sam,
he had,
call back in and we'll get it straightened out.
Maybe he had five different shows happening in his abode. I don't know.
He's got the ADD going on.
Exactly like the rest of us. Oh, what a night. Okay, this is something else that happened that I wanted to bring up going global, sadly, in Pakistan. They've arrested six suspected Taliban militants, they say, with a suicide vest and hand grenades that were allegedly on their way to attack a five-star hotel and kill Americans in Lahore, which is the capital, the cultural capital, really, there. And they've had a bunch of bombings at markets and security spots, installations, and they were on their way to go and nail this hotel, but they were able to catch the six, and it included a 14-year-old boy and a prayer leader from the Afghan border, and they were wired. And they had a vest packed with explosives, the one kid did, and they were targeting Americans at the Pearl Continental Hotel. So the good news is they were able to get them before that happened. They got 26 hand grenades, 5 detonators from the people who were traveling by car and motorcycle, and they weren't able to carry it out. They didn't even really know for certain whether any Americans were staying there, but they assumed that there were Americans who were staying there. All right, I think we have Slammin' Sammy back on the line across the border in Montreal. Sam, what are you running? Are you listening to 5 radio shows at your big command center?
No.
It sounded like something in the background about the Super Bowl, but I don't know.
It could be.
It could be.
Yeah.
All right, what's on your mind, man?
Okay, first of all, I spoke to Stevie, had a fantastic time. Of course, when he showed up to class, the principal of the school was sitting there, and he said, okay, what was the final score? Now go to class. Because, you know, he's a teacher, too.
Yeah,
so he said, by the way, I hope you're not going to make this a habit, Rabbi. He goes, oh, no, it's only once a year. He goes, good, you know.
It's only once a year.
Yeah, it's only once a year. Yeah, anyway, I guess you heard what happened to Bob Gainey.
No, tell me the latest on Bob Gainey.
He resigned as general manager of the Montreal Canadiens.
He did that today. There was a lot of pressure for that to happen.
Right. It was either resign or be fired.
Wow.
I'm surprised. And the funny part is, I was talking to your technician, the guy from Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
He knew what happened.
Yeah, he was following it, I guess.
Yeah, anyway, but right now his assistant, a guy named Pierre Gauthier, is interim general manager. And I'd like to convey my condolences to Brian Burke on the recent passing of his son.
I saw that. That was incredibly sad, yes.
Yeah, but the funny part was he was very proud of his son for what his son did like in November, he came out, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyway, well, anyway, but...
Well, so what's the buzz in Montreal? I mean, we knew this was inevitable that Gainey, you and I talked about that last week, that it looked like the axe was swinging and he was going to get fired, so now
right.
he just resigns.
Right.
So what's the... How do the people who root for the Canadiens feel?
From what people I've talked to, it was like, okay, I mean, it, you know it was eventually going to happen. So now it's like, okay, have this guy Gauthier do it for the rest of the year because of the Olympics, you know, let everything, you know, cool down or whatever. But some people have mentioned maybe Pierre Maguire, but I think Maguire is having too much fun doing the game of the week on NBC and doing the games here on TSN.
Mm.
So I don't think he'd be that. I mean, fine, he's had, you know what, managerial experience in the NHL, but I don't think he'd be that crazy. I mean, especially in a pressure cooker like Montreal, where it's like, I could just picture tomorrow, there's a paper here called the Journal de Montréal. It's like the New York Daily News. And I wouldn't be surprised if half the sports section will be nothing but Bob Gainey. You know?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, it's all, well, you know this, obviously, more than
yep.
anything. It's all about hockey, and especially
right.
especially a team like the Canadiens.
Who haven't won a Stanley Cup, you know, in 17 years. So, needless to say, my relatives in Toronto are giving me a nice little dig. I said, yeah, but when was the last time the Leafs won a Stanley Cup? And
you, know what's sad about the Gainey thing? Boy, he is a good guy. I covered
yep.
the Stars, and I used to have him on shows that I did in
mm-hmm.
Dallas a lot, and he's soft-spoken, but
yeah.
the players really liked him in Dallas, and he was a, you know, he was a superstar from them from the mid-70s through almost 1990, Hall of Famer. I mean,
right.
he has the credentials, especially from the Canadian point of view.
Yeah, won a Conn Smythe.
Yeah.
Right, so, I mean, if he's got half a brain, and obviously he does, I mean, I was going to say, you know, take some time off, and then, you know, weigh his options, because I figure he's got, like you said, he's got a good hockey mind, so some team will probably
He'll go somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll go somewhere. Somebody will pick him up, because
yeah.
he's had successful runs in that role, too.
Yeah, well,
hey,
I know.
You know what's interesting about the Canadiens? We always talk about when somebody celebrates something big, a milestone,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't realize this. I knew they were close to this, but... your team celebrated their 100th anniversary back in December.
Yes, they did. And you know what? It was December 4th. That was the anniversary of the first game. So, you know, I remember seeing it on TV. I mean, Julie tried to get tickets from, you know, people she usually can get tickets from, but, you know, forget it. And what they did was, it was sort of like there was a guy named Eddie Palchak. He was like the Canadiens equipment manager for, since Moses was in diapers. So what he did is he walked out, he threw pucks on the ice, and then you see some of the old, you know, some old-time Canadians. You saw Kenny Dryden. You saw, you know, you saw Bob Gainey.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, the way it was done with the Canadians, it was really classy. And then they showed on the big screen scoreboard. I mean, every major arena has one. And they stood for a moment of silence for people who were involved in Canadians who had passed away. And they showed the last game ever at the Forum. And Maurice Richard, he was a really tough hockey player. But at the last game at the old Forum, people were yelling his name. He just said, stop it already. He was like literally in tears. You know, he was a gentleman off the, in fact, they made a joke about him and his wife at their 50th wedding anniversary party. All the jewelry that the men wore because of all the Stanley Cups the Canadians won.
Yeah, you gotta love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we'll see. Hey, thanks, Sam. You have a good one. We're up against it there with the music. Breaking news, although this isn't a surprise by what we've seen with Toyota lately. Toyota says now they're recalling the Prius worldwide because of the brake problems, not just in Japan, but across the world. They are recalling the Priuses. Stay with us.
Lazarus was feeling about half past dead. I just need some place where I can lay my head. And Mr. Can you tell me where a man might find a bed? He just grinned and shook my hand. No was all he said. Take a load off, Patty. Take a load for free. Take a load off.
So I just mentioned this, that Toyota officially is recalling the Prius for those brake problems. 400,000 of the hybrid cars worldwide. And so that's everyone. Anybody who's driving a Prius, boom, it's recalled. Doesn't matter where you live in California, Illinois. You driving one of those cars. I know someone driving one of those cars. Period. It is in that recall mode. So just take it into the dealer. Bummer. I think that was inevitable, though, that that was going to happen. Snowstorm, here we go again. Keep those shovels out. Mid-Atlantic still digging out from a historic storm. And now forecasters are predicting another two-footer or so to blanket D.C., Philadelphia, South Jersey. This is the craziest thing I think I saw reported, but not a surprise. What do you think is going to happen? You know what the snow rate is for a cab ride to D.C., to the... from D.C. to the airport, and some of those airports are pretty close, $100. So it's like, hey, everybody wants a ride? We're going to have to charge you more money. If you want to get in this cab, you're going to have to pay the price. And it's bad. It's tough to get to the airports because some of the main roads are still being dug out. They were today. They had snow up through Saturday night. And now with more coming, and it's supposed to be the kind where you've got it blowing around with the snow drifts and all that kind of crazy stuff. That makes it tough. I say this all the time, but it's so true. As somebody who grew up with some snow, it's always fun when you're a kid. You get those snow numbers going on. You're doing the sled, the tobogganing thing, doing the skiing deal. It's not fun when you're playing grown-up and you have to get to work and find a way, as many of our fine friends in Minnesota know. Matt certainly knows that in getting to work, you've got to deal with whatever weather is in your way. And in broadcasting, the show must go on, so that makes it tough. And a lot of other industries, the same thing. There isn't calling in. I mean, you can't just close down the shop. So you got to find a way to make it there. And that's what a lot of people are faced with in those areas. A couple of other things that I think I briefly mentioned, but worth digging just a tad deeper. So the Toyota thing is a mess. With all the recalls and the reputation of Toyota that was so far above, head and shoulders above everything, taking a little bit of a nick, recalling these hybrid cars, all of them across the board, because they're not risking any of these problems. First, you have the accelerator problem on the other cars. Now the brake problems here. All right, so I did mention this a little bit. I think I just glossed over, but it's worth, like I said, digging just a tad deeper because we talked about this a bunch. How sad it was in Connecticut that the other day on Sunday morning that plant explosion was just giant fireball that people saw, this orange ball, and they're saying now that they certainly want to shut it down and they want to look at whether or not some criminal charges could be sought in this case, because you had five dead workers and then you have others that were wounded as well, and all the workers have been accounted for, but some of the areas of the site are just too unstable to search at this point. So this plant that was under construction was getting near the launch point in Middletown, and they're talking about negligence and whether or not there was some criminal conduct, and that's what they're going to investigate, which is what the Middletown mayor is saying. Remember, I mentioned this, when you have these different crews and you have different people that operate under different timetables, it can get tricky as to what's going on with the work. And what happened was you had large swaths of the nearly completed clean energy plant that was just blew apart. They were purging a gas line on Sunday morning, and it tore the sheet metal that covered the plant's sides and left parts of the complex so unstable that the rescuers couldn't work Monday because of the danger of that part of it just crumbling, crunching right there where they were working. So the fire marshal said, no way can you go in there. And you're talking about 114 workers or so. Nine subcontractors were on the site at the time. To me, that's a catastrophe just waiting to happen. So the governor jumps in too. They're talking about reviewing the safety codes and looking at the origin to find out what happened, the construction problems, all that other stuff. And then also looking at whether or not changes need to be made to the Connecticut laws, frankly. And, you know, with somebody pushing it to try to get it done. And this is a town not too far outside of Hartford, and it rocked that area where they thought the earth was eating them up. They really thought there was an earthquake going on. It was that bad, the description of it. And certainly you feel for those families who it was just, hey, going off for some overtime here on a Sunday, coming back later, watch the game. And sadly, not to be for so many of those people. In the meantime, this is something else worth mentioning, too. They found in China 170 more tons of that tainted milk, you know, the powdered milk. This is awful. The powdered milk from this powdered milk from a scandal in 2008 was apparently repackaged up. So they found this, you know, China was promising to overhaul its food safety, but they found another case where it was bad milk. So they've ordered tens of thousands of milk products laced with an industrial chemical that's nice, burned or buried, after more than 300,000 kids were sickened, 300,000, and at least six died from the contamination. But they didn't carry it out soon enough, and they clearly there's this emergency crackdown because some of it was compromised and it was still out there, and it was found in Shanghai. And that's, for goodness sake, that is one of the biggest cities. In fact, it might be the largest city in China. And in some of those very popular provinces, and they had five companies, they said, that are suspected of saying, we're just going to repackage this and resell this tainted milk. So it wasn't destroyed. They were trying to peddle it off on the people. You wonder why, when we have these things like the paint, the lead paint, and the stuff with the dog food, when you get a little scared when you start to look, oof, made in China, oof, made in China. Just be careful of the food made in China, and be careful of some of the toys made in China when you see stuff like this happening. I mean, you know, they're not policing the food producers, especially. They've had the worst food safety in the last couple of years, and there were people that were punished, and there was farmers and a salesperson, and you know, they thought they were really cracking down, but they still find ways to get around it. That's just way too many. 170 tons of milk powder? Scary, scary stuff. Just remember that when you're looking for that cheap deal. Make sure you read the label. Now, this was all in China, but we've seen what's happened in the United States when we've got some of those tainted products. And we don't want to go down that road again. We started the show off and we were talking about the fact that there's going to be the big showdown on February 25th. We're going to have a couple of shows focusing on aspects of what's happening now in the discussions with health care reform or health insurance reform, as the president is pretty sure that they're going to be able to do this bipartisan health care session. It's going to be televised, and we're all going to be able to watch the Dems and the Republicans break the impasse live and in living color. So we're going to revisit some of the plans that are out there and see if this actually can become reality. I'm saying no. If there was even a vote before the summer, I'd be very, very surprised, my friends. Shoot me those emails, americatonight.net.
This constant bickering is going to put me in a coma.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Son of a... That's going to leave a mark.
Worse? How can they get any worse? Take a look around you, Alan. We're at the threshold of hell!